Listening Dog Media.
The Hot Mess Mum. The mum most likely to send her kids to school in regular clothes on non-school uniform day. The mum who forgets to sign the permission slip for school trips. The mum who has probably put leftovers in her kids' lunchbox on more than one occasion. But most importantly, the Hot Mess Mum is actually rocking it and is doing a far better job than even she thinks. Please welcome our Hot Mess Mums, telling it as it is, Kelly and Jenny Powell.
It is the Hot Mess Mums Club podcast. We are back. I'm Kelly Pegg.
And I'm Jenny Powell.
Our amazing guest today, we're very pleased to have this lady on, the gorgeous Christina Rianoff. Our lovely mum listeners will, of course, know you so well from your time on Strictly, when you just bedazzled everybody as one of the top pros on that show.
Thank you. Yeah, been long 8 years on the show.
The kids are back to school and our friends at Swan have the perfect back-to-school products to make those mornings a little easier.
They've got everything from kettles and toasters to blenders and egg boilers.
For 20% off Swan's gorgeous products, head to swanbrand.co.uk and use the discount code HOTMESSMUMS20.
The Hot Mess Mums Club with Swan, celebrating 90 years of magic moments.
And it seems like such a time since you've been gone, because so much has changed for you now, hasn't it?
Of course, yeah, changed a lot. Everything kind of evolves. The show is very different now, and my life is very different now. I have a family. My daughter is 5 years old. I have a well-being studios. I kind of got qualifications in well-being, yoga, meditation, mindfulness. So, yeah, life changed a lot, but for the better, I feel.
Strictly is one of those sort of infectious sort of shows that, having been on TV as well myself, you know, things take over, don't they? They're all consuming in a way. It's your social life, you know, it's like 24/7. And you think, gosh, you know, what would I do if I wasn't doing this? But now you know, things have changed and moved on. Do you miss it at all, or?
I did miss it, especially the first few years after the show, because it was my routine. That's all I knew, you know, for 8 years. Before that, I was a competitor and flying around the world pretty much every weekend, from Japan to Argentina to South Africa, back to America. So it was really intense life. And the same with Strictly, because you kind of never in the same place. You know, if you have a celebrity who lives, let's say, in a different city, that's where we go. So, like, I sort of felt I didn't really have home, you know, and so it was kind of coming to a point where I felt that I really need to do something else, you know, even though I love Strictly and I love that life. I was 36 and I thought, like, you know, there is more to life than that, you know. So all my friends already had, you know, teenagers, kids who were teenagers, you know, and I was like, oh, wow, you know, what's happening with me, you know. And, I kind of already in my head thought, this is it, you know, I'm going to be leaving Strictly. And we wanted to do with my dance partner, Robin Windsor, from Strictly, like a tour around the UK, just doing our own show, because I was always into creating, you know, numbers and choreography. And so we wanted to do something together. And then life took a very different turn. I found out I was pregnant, and so the rest is history. So I think the universe definitely kind of gave back to me, you know, what I was asking for, the change in life. And so that changed, obviously, dramatically everything in my life, becoming a mom and moving out of London to Northampton, which is much more kind of slower pace of life. It's all about children, about sort of school runs and so on.
Yeah, I imagine it must be quite difficult, because being a competitive dancer for so long, you know, you've got to be very thick-skinned, you're up against the competition all the time, even being on Strictly and being in the spotlight, and then to go from that, let all that go and become, like you say, you know, sort of you're into your well-being, your yoga, meditation. Did you find that hard, sort of changing route, or did it come very naturally and the time was right for you, kind of thing, to take that turn?
I felt that I kind of achieved everything I possibly could, really. As a dancer, as a professional dancer, I was very lucky, although I believe you're making your own luck to what I achieved. You know, it was hard, you know, being a competitor and moving the countries. I've done it twice, from Russia to the States, from the States to the UK, leaving everyone behind, you know, starting from scratch, being on my own. But it felt right because... Also with yoga, it's something I've been practicing for 20 years by now. I was introduced back in the States to Bikram yoga. And as a competitor, I've been doing it religiously for years. So I kind of always felt that would be my kind of next step because I really loved it so much and what it was doing for me mentally, physically. So I kind of always felt drawn to it. As far as kind of living the glamour, of course I miss it. You know, like any woman, I like to dress up. And whenever I get an invite to go somewhere glamorous, you know, I obviously go if I can. But I think, you know, I kind of felt I didn't really sacrifice anything. I've achieved what I could, you know, like competing, being on the best show on television, doing it years there. Yes, I could have done another year, but what would it really be? Would it be just the same, exactly like a kind of little circle, you know, you do the same thing. And, you know, becoming a mom, it's just really different world. And it's kind of, it's all about her now, about my daughter, about my family. And for many years, it was all about me. And, you know, it's selfish as it sounds, being a competitor on a high level of sports, let's say, a person. It is very much, you know, all about you and what you can achieve. Yeah. So I think it was kind of creating something different, you know, something, give my love, give my passion for life to my family, to my children.
So are you particularly fond of hot yoga at your place? Is it Sue yoga, we call it? Yes, yoga. Love yoga.
Something from my friends saying when I was telling her what it's going to be like, there will be a well-being center and I want to open a place where everyone would feel safe and comfortable, regardless of age, ability, or disability. I wanted to create a place for moms just like me, you know, who don't know where to go with the baby. You want to do something for yourself, but there's always an issue with the childcare. So when we were building it, like crash was a very big part of it. So the moms can drop the babies. There is lots of different styles of yoga. And when I was saying all that to my best friend, she's like, oh, that will be so good. And she was really stretching the O's.
And like, yeah, okay.
It would be so
right.
And it just kind of became that. I was like, this is going to be my place. So yoga. So it's
so only- yoga. Yeah, I love that.
it's sort of like it just became that. And you know, we're very much about the family here, environment, but also of course millennials too. But it's kind of place for everybody. We have yoga for elderly. This today, actually, in fact, I start chair yoga for cancer patients. You know, I paired up with the local charity called the Lewis Foundation. And just we're trying to be very inclusive. I don't believe any sport, anything has to be like exclusive, you know, to something.
Put it this way, for ballroom dancing to yoga, we can certainly do yoga until our dying days, not so much the ballroom. So I think, you know, for this half of our lives, we're definitely barking up the right tree. But for you, you know, your family life, you've also got, obviously, I've met Ben, actually. I think I did some kind of crazy charity thing with him. How long have you been with Ben now for?
6 years.
Oh, lovely, lovely. And so he's got two, so you've got two sort of teenage daughters.
Yeah.
Yeah, stepdaughters.
They now going to be 15. We also have December birthdays in our family. So Ben is first on 14th of September, then it's mine on 22nd, then the girls on 24th. We literally have birthdays every week.
Cool.
Spent a month for our family, but only Mila is in June. But it's the lovely girls, the amazing sisters to Mila, and she just loves them to bits. So it's
yeah, I'm just quite intrigued because I got divorced, and so my children, sort of with my partner now, he was a stepdad through various stages, you know, of sort of from one was from 2 and now she's 12, one was 9 and now she's 20. So it's quite an interesting dynamic as a step parent. I mean, obviously you're a parent too, but it's quite an interesting dynamic, especially when you get to those teenage years. Yeah, for you. So you've sort of got, you know, you've got two different sort of roles there, haven't you, to play, and with Milo and the children?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we kind of blended and connected so well because we always, and since we had Milo, obviously, it was always about us all together. There was never kind of, you know, any different. We never took a trip, a family trip, without all of the kids together. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always anything we do is always as a family. And yeah, it's sort of, I feel like the girls are so amazing with Mila, and they're just so helpful. They're always there to help. You know, if, let's say, you know, I'm busy doing something on my computer, Ben is doing something, they're just so amazing with her, you know. So it's massive help. And, you know, a lot of people asking me, oh, you're going to have another child. But I feel like the house is full. We have three girls, a dog, you know. And we're like, no, because if the girls weren't obviously with us, I would have felt like, you know, pressure to have a sibling.
Yes. Life.
But the house is crazy. And even Ben said, no more kids. This is it.
Oh, enough girls. Enough chaos. The older they get, the more demanding they get. I mean, my daughter's eight and she's with me all the time, which is so lovely. But there are times, you know, when I need a little break, you know, they're very demanding and you've got three of them as well.
Yeah, but it's nice because of Lizzie and Harry, you know, we talk about the makeup, the outfits, you know, go to Primark, shopping for little things for them, you know. So it's a lovely dynamic, obviously. So
for Ben, he's got a house full of girls. Good luck with that. That's what my other half says. Even my dog's female. So is he a good coper in that respect?
The balance is out getting Ray. You know, he is a male dog. So we try to kind of, balance it a little bit for Ben. But, you know, Ben always said he's sort of, I love the girls and that he wouldn't have it any different. So I think he's quite comfortable with that.
Well, that's a bonus. And the other thing that I love is obviously the culture you've come from, Siberia, a beautiful St. Petersburg, as you call it. And it is, it's a beautiful, I mean, I've not been there. I have been on the Siberian Express, you know, the railway, the track, the train journey. Yeah, but I never got to stop off at St. Petersburg, unfortunately.
I'm originally from Rostock, which is very last stop of that Siberian railroad, which you probably took, which is the east side of Russia. And St. Petersburg is just a place me and my mom loves, and we're meeting there. So I'm not like from there, but it's a cultural city, cultural capital, if you wish, of Russia. We love going there. It's so beautiful. Yeah. And for me, to fly to my hometown, Vladivostok, I have to go to Moscow for 4 hours, then 9 hours plane to Vladivostok. So it's really...
Whoa.
Yeah. So if you think about flying through all of Russia toward, like, Japan, so it's a really big country.
Yes.
Everybody sort of don't really realize how big it is.
No.
So hard. So this is why often we just meet up in St. Petersburg, because it's only
you
a couple
meet
of
there.
Yeah.
Right. And so the culture that you were brought up in for your, you know, for Mila now is quite different, I suppose. But do you try and instill any of the sort of traditional, you know, Russian ways, you know, just like your mother did here in the, you know, in the UK? Is it possible?
The thing is, it's hard. I think any parenting really pretty much the same. You wouldn't want the best for your kids and you want to succeed. I guess I did see different cultures, you know, throughout my life, and lived obviously for 8 years in America, then almost 10 years here now. I would say sort of the kind of cultural things here more actually close to Russia than US would be to Russia.
Right.
You know, like, all I do with Mila, I'm a little bit maybe pushy with her going to after school activities. It doesn't mean that she has to go to my ballroom dancing lessons because she doesn't want to go there. And that's okay.
Oh.
You know, she just refuses to go to my classes and not that. But she loves everything else. She comes because I'm running a kids academy here within sort of our facilities. And I have amazing teachers, and they do ballet and acrobatics and singing and sort of drama and all that. So she loves other activities. And so as long as she does something, I don't mind, you know, because I feel like kids at that age, especially now, this generation, they're all addicted to the gadgets and times on iPads and so on. So for me, And she has to do something. I always kind of push her. And she does obviously kids yoga on Sundays and stuff. Yes. So, and very often she doesn't want to do it. And I'm a little bit pushy, I guess, because this is how I grew up. And that discipline gave me a lot. You know, I have to thank my culture and my parents and, you know, what it was like in Soviet Union. We were encouraged to go to after-school activities. They were all there for us for free because obviously it was the Soviet Union, so the government would pay to the teachers. It wasn't commercial at that time because my parents would never be able to afford something extra. They were engineers and, you know, sort of quite humble living. But, you know, I was lucky that I grew up in that culture where I could go anywhere.
Yeah.
Singing, dancing, piano, gymnastics. I've tried everything and I just really love ballroom dancing. So, you know, I was encouraged to do that, the competitions and stuff. That suited me well. And people asking me about my sort of childhood in Russia, how difficult it was. It was like, it wasn't difficult. It was amazing. You know, everything was at my fingertips. I could go to anything and do whatever. You know, had fun. We went to competitions, you know, all together with parents by bus and stuff like that. It was great, you know. And plus my parents didn't have to pay anything for that either. So it suited me well. But that discipline that I have to do something and work hard for achievements, I think that mentality suited me well throughout my life. This is why when people saying, oh, you're so lucky you got this. Well, no, it's not just luck. It's an opportunity which I took. And sometimes it was very hard decisions I had to make, leaving my mom, leaving my family behind.
I was
ready to jump and do that, you know. So which a lot of people, they rather stay in the comfort zone. And then they're saying, oh, you're so lucky. Luck has nothing to do with that, you know. You just have to be mentally ready for things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Our Hot Mess Mums, telling it like it is, Kelly Pegg with Jenny Powell.
Our friends at Swan have got some gorgeous products that will help you during those stressful mornings getting the kids to school.
From their garment steamers to get those creases out of uniforms at the last minute, to their egg boilers and toasters to ensure breakfast time is easier. Plus, their stealth blender is the perfect addition to the kitchen, helping you make smoothies, shakes, soups and sauces so you can get all the essential vitamins into your kids as they head back into school.
Don't forget, you can get 20% off Swan's gorgeous products if you head to swanbrand.co.uk and use the discount code HOTMESSMUMS20.
The Hot Mess Mums Club with Swan, designed for life.
Yeah, that's something we very much relate to, you know, in our kind of mindset about things, you know, because we it's not over until it's over. So we will work till the end, we will give our hardest, you know, so it's quite similar. And the thing with Mila is just she can have anything she wants, play with whoever she wants and have her gadgets as long as she does other things, you know.
Absolutely. So, and I think that the problem is, especially because people have been locked away and locked down for a while, you know, everyone has become quite sedentary, you know, oh, well, I'd love to do that, but, you know, we weren't allowed, you know, we couldn't, et cetera. So I think now's the time to just make sure that people remind themselves to get back out there and to push themselves. And like you say, to have a focus and be driven. Because people do like to sit on their bums and watch Netflix and do sod all, don't they? And then we do it. And then we say to the kids, yeah, you carry on your iPad because I can continue to sit on my bum and watch. I'm saying this and Kelly's looking slightly embarrassed. You know, I've got her doing yoga.
I love a good Netflix. She does. It's a reward for me.
I love Netflix.
I tick off my list that day, I've done my workout, done my 10,000 steps, then I know I can give myself that half an hour before school pick up. And that's how I balance it. I think it's really important.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I lived there for 8 years and I've worked with the children and I've seen it all. And unfortunately, well, I felt that, like, you know, what I do now here, I have the kids I take to competitions, you know, to like nationals. And like I took a couple of weeks them to Blackpool Tower, which reminded me of all my performances there on Strictly.
Yeah.
And my little ones did really well, made the finals and won a couple of Grand Slams. They're only 7 years old. And it made me feel really good, kind of passing on my passion, love, you know, my knowledge. And You know, there were so many kids dancing. They're all so really cute in the little white socks and little shoes and, you know, like all that. The boys look very sweet with the little bows and bow ties, you know, all the little frames. Just so adorable. And there was tons of kids, probably about like 600 kids or whatever, all together through 2 days of competing. Remind me of my days in Russia. And I never saw that in America, because actually the States kind of changed a lot when, you know, Soviet Union collapsed and, and the Russians or like ex-republics of Russia started moving. They had no kids dancing whatsoever as far as dancing. It was all, you know, like Russian-speaking sort of children, because ballroom dancing is massive in Russia and it was like number one sport. When I grew up, it was the number one sport for kids. It was literally every weekend everywhere. And it was, when I started teaching a little bit of classes, you know, like I felt the mentality was very different, you know. Besides the obesity, which obviously we all know about, unfortunately, in the States, it's just the mentality that, you know, I couldn't push them a little bit, like hard, you know, it was all for fun. It was always for fun. And it's fine. There is not always going to be children who want to compete. But I feel like sometimes we as parents, it's our job to guide. And if it means sometimes to be a little bit pushy, I'm not scared to say that I'm a pushing mom. I'm not obsessed with that. I don't want her to do
no.
Just because I... As long as she's happy, she can do whatever. Like now she's into gymnastics and she just loves that. And thank you, please go do that. You don't have to do ballroom like cha-cha-cha and waltz. It's okay. But as long as you do something, you know, and it's consistent, teaches you discipline, teaches you being with other kids, work together. I think the social skills, you can really see the difference when the children doing something together, you know, working as a team or dancing as couples. They have that reflection on each other, how they feel, that they have to be a team. You know, it's like, you know, I have a little couple who went to Blackpool and, you know, they danced together in competition, but also did solos. And the girl did better than the boy because the boy started later. And you can see he was upset when he wasn't recalled to next round because the girl went all the way to the finals.
Right.
But he was clapping for her and being so happy that she made it through.
Yes.
He was proud of her, like this is his partner. And he was like so, and I thought like this is exactly what children are learning by being in that environment, you know, doing something together. So it's a good skill to develop.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I wish that schools pushed it all a lot more. I think we have far too much emphasis on academic stuff. I don't think we realise that sport can teach our kids life skills, you know. You've got to learn to lose, teamwork. I do think schools should push it more.
Exactly.
And then with Ben, does he do yoga?
Well, unfortunately for him, he was my kind of guinea pig when I was going through teacher training.
So. And you were like, you are so bad, Ben.
So he had to do a lot of classes with me while I was learning my dialogue.
Right, know, yes, yeah.
All that. He went with me to a couple of studios just to experience it himself, because when we wanted to kind of thinking about how we're going to put things together. He often says if he could go back when he was, you know, being a professional sportsman, he would do yoga. He would do hot yoga because it was like really amazing for the body and the mind too.
Well, that's, I brought it up because I'm a huge fan of hot yoga and blessing, I love it, but a double blessing, the Sale rugby team players come in as well.
Well, we rugby players.
Yeah. It's, you know, when I say to people, you know, some male friends might say, oh, can I go? I say, can you go? We've got rugby players in there. Of course you can go. And it's just great to see, you know, that the sport that they do and how obviously it is beneficial, I think, for flexibility, obviously, and their hamstrings are always knackered, aren't they? So, but stuff like that. So I'm just saying, you know, if Ben wasn't, I know that Sail Boys up here are definitely into their hot yoga.
No, it's absolutely true. We had like a pre-season 8 weeks of yoga classes for local cricket club. For professional cricketers, they absolutely loved it. And we had the Saints rugby players 2 weeks ago here. So we're just working out kind of maybe structure for them to come. And they all really love it because it does give them such a good sort of prevention of injuries, flexibility, you know, getting rid of lactic acid, mobility of joints and stuff like that. Learning correct breaths and just getting that also sorted. Like in America, that's one thing actually the more advanced than us, because when I started that time it was Bikram yoga. Now it's not allowed to call that any longer. So hot yoga, I started in 2001. I had no conception of yoga because when I came from Russia, it was just not like, I didn't know what it was. So my dance partner took me to yoga studio and I absolutely hated every single second of it. Right. And I thought, I'll never go back, you know, look at me, having my own studio. It's just like, it like your body starts craving that heat and humidity. Just feeling that detoxification and lightness in the body. And that hour, just like dancing, it's the yoga for your mind more than anything, because you can't think of anything else. You're just in that space, you know, space of what you're doing, how you're moving. And that gives you a bit of a break, you know, from everything. So, you know, in the States, the hot yoga is really popular with like basketball players, the runners, the footballers, you know, like, I used to go to every single studio wherever we would go for competitions. You can always see guys in studios and you can see the athletes, you know, cyclists. So it's very much known. We're a little bit behind on that because actually it's like really known that the, you know, sportsmen do yoga.
Right.
So,
And also the only thing with it is with rugby players, they get really sweaty. So I always have to park myself well away. Yeah. They're the ones with the biggest... No, but they aren't. There's like sweats. They sort of fling. It's a bit of like a sweat flinging competition going around when the big boys are in. I'm like, oh, the big chaps are in. I'll be standing right over there. Yeah.
My clients here quite enjoy seeing some rugby players going around.
Oh, yeah. You know?
I was going to say that. Great if you're single. That's a place to go and pick someone up.
Yeah, where it was always not packed because two rugby players come to the class. This class all of a sudden became the most popular one. Everybody going there to just having a look at them.
Oh, I love it. I'm going to get some of my single friends onto this. I've got a single friend, actually, not far from you. I'm going to ring her and I'm going to say, you know where you need to be going.
Maybe it could be yoga dating. You could have a yoga date night.
Yeah, well, you know, why not?
Anything goes. We need to get everyone mingling again, don't we? So for the children, yeah, it's I'm really, I'd love my girls to go to yoga. I think it's something that's sort of like an afterthought. And for the kids, it just how's that been received for you then with so yoga?
Yeah, do you know what? I mean, I'm not like kind of actively perhaps pushing the kids' yoga. It's more kind of an add-on for our members because on Sundays we have at the same time like a hot yoga for obviously adults and then I do at the same time kids' yoga. So the members kind of, it's almost like a childcare.
Yeah, okay.
But Mila goes to it. I love teaching it. It's a lot of fun. And I actually last year I taught in Mila's school yoga as well. And a lot of kids really enjoy that because they naturally just kind of get into that playful kind of state of doing different animal positions and so on. Just teaching them being again together, you know, it's a non-competitive environment, but they're doing something together. So it's a lovely kind of place to be, I suppose, for them. No pressure, but at the same time, they're doing and helping things. You put them in pairs and you put like, you know, sort of double downward facing dog.
Yeah.
And they do it together and it's just fun pairing them up and doing things like that. So
I've got to say, kids can do it so much better. Mm-hmm. Like my son's 3.5 and he can do downward dog, legs in the air. He just does it and he loves it. And, you know, we watch them at that age. They're so flexible. Like for us, it's exercise. But my son will just sit in a yoga position and, you know, whilst playing like with his bricks for ages and he's totally comfortable.
Exactly. Children are very natural yogis and like even child's pose with a kid sleeping in with their head down. This is obviously sort of, you know, when they naturally know how to calm themselves on the head below heart position where it calms the heart rate. You know, we kind of, the children are much more enlightened, I think, you know.
Absolutely. And then we sort of lose the enlightenment as we get older, don't we? Yeah, well, we're not going to anymore, but that's kind of what happens if you let it. So we've got to stop that. We've got to cling on to our enlightenment, I think.
Well, we absolutely love what you do, Christina. It's been such a joy having you on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's nice to have an honest chat about things we women moms, you know, worried about, think about, and sometimes we can't really talk about it because we feel maybe it's not appropriate, but it's nice to kind of have an honest chat.
Yes, absolutely. And are you going to get married? I'm just saying it. I'm passing this on because I've been engaged for like something like 25 years and people keep asking me and I'm like, I thought, I wonder what Christina says because I'm so fed up of going, well, you know, at the moment, we're so busy. And I'm like,
You know what? Yeah, we often talk about it. But the thing is, then it was like a lockdown, so it wasn't possible. What's the point to do wedding if you can't really invite everyone? Now it's back to business and it's pushing this up the hill because it's obviously was really hard, you know, having a new business, which was open only for 9 months and then close it down for nearly 2 years. We were closed for longer than we were open. So it's just always a lot of things to juggle. And now obviously I'm running the dance school and also this place. So it's a lot on our plates. We'll do it eventually when the life is a bit better, I think, with no crazy COVID rules flying in, flying out, because for me to bring my mom, it's a whole
it's an epic,
kind of world of things and stuff, which is not possible at the moment at all. So yeah, sometime, someday.
I'm going to use that. Sometime, someday.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, ladies. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
The Hot Mess Mums Club with Swan.
Thanks to Swan for sponsoring this episode.
Don't forget to check out their website for some of their brilliant items to help make your back-to-school routine a lot easier.
To see more of Swan's products, head to swanbrand.co.uk. Use the discount code HOTMESSMUMS20 for 20% off.